Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on AmyToyAmyToy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I'm your host, Amy Toy. We have a great guest today, and let me introduce her. When Lisa Barnett wrote The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records, she knew that she had an instant success on her hands, rocketing to bestseller. It helped people to understand there is a universal archive of our infinite soul's journey through the millennia and the dimensions. Furthermore, it can be accessed to understand and help course correct in this lifetime. Barnett, the internationally renowned founder of the Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom, has been teaching people how to connect with the Akashic Masters for many years. But she's also spent 10 years as a prayer practitioner at the Golden Gate Center for Spiritual Living in the San Francisco Bay Area, guiding people to the right prayers to seek intervention for specific issues in their lives. So, was any surprise when the Akashic beings of light metaphorically tapped Barnett on the shoulder and asked her to bring forth a series of powerful, source-imbued prayers that helped people turn their lives around? Indeed, they did. And that's how, from questioning to knowing, 73 prayers to transform your life was born. And I am very pleased to introduce Lisa Barnett. Welcome, Lisa. How are you doing?
Great, Amy. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's fun to be on your show again as an author now of two books.
Yes, and I look back to when you were last on my show was October of 2013.
Wow.
It was funny because I didn't do the show after that. I kind of went into hiatus for a while. And I got your email a couple months ago about this great book, and I thought, I'm going to have her back on, and maybe we'll do, Throwback Thursday or whatever, on social media with the first show that was back then. So, Lisa, this book is a phenomenal book. I read it. I did read it. I thought it was awesome. I always read all the books that I'm, sent. But tell us a little bit about your journey for writing From Questioning to Knowing, 73 Prayers to transform your life.
Well, as I've been working in the Akashic Records for over 20, 25 years now, when you start throwing dates out there, I'm like, huh, I'll have to change my, 20 years to over 25. And all of a sudden, how did that happen? But I've been doing Akashic Record readings, teaching people to access the records and, doing all the work that I've been doing forever. And then the Akashic Record keepers, the beings of light, said to me, let's write another book. And I'm like, sure, what do we want to write? And I just thought it was going to be like part two of, how to access the Akashic Records. And they said, we're going to do a prayer book. And I said, really? Seriously, I have to laugh at myself because I just, things just come and go. I'm very fluid. I don't hang on to memories very much. And so they said, did you forget that you spent 10 years as a prayer practitioner with the New Thought Movement, which are like, Unity churches and Science of Mind churches and all part of the New Thought Movement? They said, you forget you spent 10 years doing that? And I laughed and said, Yeah, actually, I did. My children were little. I was taking them to church. I was doing prayer. I was learning how to be a practitioner. I was on the church board. You know, and then that part was kind of done, and on I went, right? Mm-hmm. The children are now, you know, in their 20s, so. But they said, this is such powerful work, and this is accessible to so many people. 95% of the population of the world pray in some way or other, whether it's just through a deep intention, whether it's just, you know, a simple knowing of, I know that I'm in the right place at the right time. You can call that a prayer. So the prayers that they channeled to me, that really I channel this, I sit down and I open my Akashic records and I just say to them, okay, what a flow. And I just write for like 4 days, and I lock myself away in this wonderful little writing workshop in Sedona, Arizona, and I just, you know, just channel it. And then I, you know, go and edit it, and I went back for a second round, like, oh, it could be deeper. I think there's more to come through. So I went back and sat down for 4 more days and wrote a bunch more stuff. So that's what happened with From Questioning to Knowing. So literally what they gave me was lots of big picture information for people so that they could start to understand some of these thoughts, like, you know, a soul purpose or a soul contract. Yes. Or why did you pick the family, you know, your birth family? Why would you pick them? Yes. And certainly I have clients who say, you know, I was put up for adoption when I was, you know, 1 hour old. Why would I pick that?
Yeah.
And so we talk in the book about some of the whys, how this works, what karma means, how we actually write a soul plan before we embody each time, and how that soul plan, you know, outpictures in the world, because sometimes that's exactly how it's outpicturing, as working through some karma with a family we don't think we have much in common with, or being put up for adoption because it's the only way we can get in and get the family we want, because they're not having giving birth to a child this time.
Yeah.
All sorts of complicated big picture ideas. So there's a lot of that information, and along with it, healing prayers, prayers for expansion, prayers for alignment, prayers to move forward, to release low vibrational energy, to trust yourself, to, you know, prayers of self-love. So 73 prayers. It's a lot of healing work in here.
Oh, yeah, when I was going through the book and I was doing some of the prayers myself, and that's funny you mentioned that about family. I used to think that, why did I incarnate with these people? I have nothing in common with them. They're totally crazy.
Right?
Yeah, why did I feel that way? But it was your book brought about to me, because I was raised a Catholic, and the Catholics have the epistles, which is a book of prayers, you know, to the saints or whatever. So that kind of, your book reminded me of that in comparison. I used to have a bunch of that stuff. I gave it all away when I moved. So it's a really, the vibration of the book, too, by the way, is very healing. When you read through those words, they're very healing. Just so you know, that was my impression when I was going through the book.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because this is what the Akashic Masters said to me, is that we will imbue this book, we will imbue these prayers specifically, consciously, because you're channeling them. We will imbue them with a divine source, high vibration, you know, of, creator, and of the Akashic records. Because it's interesting. And I'll kind of go back, because some of the listeners may not be particularly familiar.
Yes, that was my next question. That's my next question. Let's go back to the basics, because what are the Akashic records and how they can they help us in our journey here on Earth?
Right. So, great question. And always the place to start. Sometimes I go off on little rants, you know. The Akashic records are the record of your soul from the time it individuates from Source until it returns home. Mm. Now, that's kind of a big, wow, what the heck did that mean? But if you imagine that at some point your soul says, I want to experience life. I want to experience a body. I want to go places and do things. And I can only do this as a kind of individuated soul. And so we do individuate as a soul, and we take these journeys, and we travel through different dimensions, planets, planes, and hundreds of lifetimes here on Earth. And everything you've ever been or done, everything you've thought, every gift or talent you've ever had in a lifetime is recorded in this etheric energy of the Akashic field.
Okay.
So Akasha is a Sanskrit word for ether or sky. And I like to kind of compare it to having everything in the cloud, you know?
Let's
store all of our information in the cloud so it's accessible. Well, if you imagine then you can, whether you're in a body now or, you know, you cross and come back, you can still access that information in the cloud, whether you're in this body or that body, whether you're on your computer or on your phone. All of your information is in the cloud or the Akashic field. And they're really, it's kind of a great comparison for us in this modern day where we have all of our information stored in the cloud and we can access it from all sorts of places. So the reason it's useful is that we're very ancient, and we have kind of been there and done that. So if we think about, well, if I've already done that, if I've already learned that, wouldn't it be nice to be able to access it with ease, remember it, instead of have to learn it from scratch, and be able to, you know, kind of bring some of those talents or gifts here now, so I'm not always being a newbie. And really the truth is we are ancient and we don't have to play it small. We don't have to be a newbie every time. And, you know, when we can go in, find out, what was my soul thinking? What plans did it make? What gifts did it want to bring forward? Right. What talents does it want to share? You know, what soul contracts do I have with those people I call my parents? When we can understand what we were thinking as that big, expansive soul, it actually, you know, it makes life easier because it makes some sense. If you went in, Amy, and said, why did I choose this, say, very conservative, religious, Catholic family?
Right.
You would find out that maybe you there were many lifetimes in which you, too, were that. And this lifetime, you wanted to be able to see a different side of the coin. You wanted a new expanse. And because you had that Catholic background, you could explain it or share it to more people because you have that information and that wisdom, both in this life and in other lifetimes. So you could see that as a gift if you looked at it that way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm, you know, as I'm getting older and on my spiritual path, I'm looking at everything as a gift more and more every day. So, but this is a great little tool. I loved, we had an Akashic record session back in 2013, and that was the best session I ever had. You know, it was very enlightening. So I encourage my listening audience, if you want to know about your soul's purpose, give Lisa a call. Email her. She's good. So anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. That's so very sweet. I love to hear that, of course. That's so beautiful. And everything I've gotten, probably since 2013, I've gotten so automated that everything is on my website, which I'm sure we'll share the link in a few.
Yes.
But, you know, people can literally, you know, go find more information and sign up for a session and, you know, find my book and get it on Amazon and download 3 free gifts. Lots and lots of information on my website. So I certainly encourage you to at least check that out.
Definitely. So, Lisa, also getting back to the basic questions, who are the beings of light and who are the Akashic Record keepers?
Mm. So they're really different names for the same beings.
So
because you are an ancient and infinite soul, you have a bunch of helpers, and I often call them the Akashic Record keepers or the Akashic beings of light. I occasionally refer to them as the masters, and they're different than ascended masters because these beings that keep your records, I also sometimes talk about them as being our Akashic Records is like that big library in the etheric sky or in the cloud, right? If you have everything on, on your Kindle or something. But isn't it nice to have a librarian say, oh, this is a good fit. Here's the answers you want. Look at this book. This will help you. So our record keepers are like our personal librarians. They're in service to us, and there's many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually are kind of, some of them are work more with some of the mundane questions. What's the highest maybe and best food for me to eat today? Is there some kind of exercise that my body resonates more with? Or how can I be of service to my family or my community or my business today? So what I call the more human questions, there's beings of light that really work in that more daily realm, and then the Akashic Masters help us with some of the bigger picture, our gifts and talents, our soul purpose, what did I come to do, maybe what are my next steps in getting on my spiritual path or creating this business that I've come to create or sharing my talents in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. So you have many, many of these Akashic Record keepers who are your divine guides, and they're different than any other guides, angels, or kind of, you know, energy beings, because they're only part of the Akashic field, and they've never been human, which is also interesting. They have no judgment. Everything is pure source energy in the records. So they can work with us and help us to heal our judgments, our anger, our guilt or jealousy, say. Maybe sometimes we find that we're jealous about somebody who's doing something like we want to do, but they're doing it in a bigger way, and we feel kind of jealous. And we realize, well, that's not going to be helpful for anybody. There's enough to go around. There's abundance of the universe here, right? So let's get rid of the jealousy. There's even a prayer to clear jealousy in the book.
Yes. Yeah. But after we take a break, take the commercial break, I have a question about that. So we're going to do some practical exercises. Okay. Why do you feel it's important to make prayer a part of our lives, and how can we do so using your book?
Well, I do feel it's important because we are human and we are on a learning and growthsome journey. We come here as souls because we want to learn and grow. And this is, you know, kind of the big Earth school, right? Big, powerful Earth University.
Yes.
So, you know, I always want to offer simple ways to grow and to learn and to change that don't have to be painful, you know, and traumatic, right? Let's find the easy answers. And prayer is one of those easy answers. And so when the Akashic Masters suggested this book, they even said, and I think they wrote a little chapter. I always laugh. I'm like, I think I've read this in my book. Something about how to use this book. And, you know, they even say you don't have to know about the Akashic Records or understand how that energy or vibration can help for it to benefit your life and for you to be able to receive the healing and the love and the transformational energy that these prayers provide.
Mm-hmm.
So just skimming through the table of content, picking prayers that maybe speak to your soul, whether it is something like, you know, the prayer to release jealousy and competition or a prayer of self-love. Whatever it is, wherever you are, it's all perfect. And some people say a prayer once and they feel a huge shift and miracle, yay, on we go. And some people might use the same prayer every day for a month or, you know, two. Depending on how deeply this pattern is ingrained and how big of a piece of your life and your learning and your growth it is.
Okay, for example, we'll do this example now. I'm just curious. Let's say you had a friend betray you, and you were helping them out, and they threw you under the bus. What prayer example, how would you help that person if they came to you and said, Lisa, I read your book, but what do you think would help them with that situation?
Well, honestly, so I'd probably, you know, I never get one answer from the Akashic Masters. So one of the things that I'm hearing is to go into some of these variety of prayers, which could be a prayer to release blame. Maybe the prayer for jealousy and competition, because obviously that was coming up. And often if it shows up in our lives, even if it's someone who is being competitive in, you know, from their side, it's in us too. We're all one. So doing some work around jealousy, competition, disappointment, maybe. And then, of course, I would say, you know, reading about some of this about karma. How does karma work in our lives? Why would that show up in your life or in my life? And then, of course, I often suggest to have a one-on-one reading with me so that we can go really deeply into those patterns and heal them. What other lifetimes? What other places? Is this connected to a childhood, a past life, an ancestral lineage? What, you know, why is this happening? And obviously a big trauma for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we can work through many of these layers on our own with the prayers and really just reading the book, going through the prayers, trying a different prayer, seeing how that feels, reading more stuff. And then I always say, you know, if you're up for doing one-on-one work, I love to work with clients and really, you know, go directly, zone right in your personal Akashic Records and find what lifetimes, what lessons, what karma, what vows, what trauma is up for you so we can heal it right then and there.
Yeah, like I said, I had a session with you, which I may be calling you for some sessions. so we can shift some of this crap. All right, Lisa, we're going to be going on a break. So tell people where they can find you, and then, you know, so in case they only listen to this part of the show, we got to get that in there.
absolutely. My website is akashicknowing.com. And do you have the link on there, Amy, or should I spell it?
Just spell it out when I post it, because when I post the show, it'll be on there. Everything will be on there.
Okay, fabulous. So at akashicknowing.com, you will be able to see like a quick link for my book, for 3 free gifts, to get readings. And I also teach people to do this for themselves. So, you know, whether you just want to, you know, learn a little more about the book and sample the gifts that have a little ebook of prayers for self-love, or you're, you know, ready to jump in for a one-on-one session, it's all there at akashicknowing.com.
Excellent.
And this is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We shall return in a few minutes. And welcome back to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest, Lisa Barnett, whose book, From Questioning to Knowing, 73 Prayers to Transform Your Life. And she is talking with us about how prayer can transform our lives. And also, we're learning a little bit about the Akashic Records. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you, Amy.
And we're going to get a little bit deeper in this segment of the show. And, you know, there's some questions that kind of like give a brief synopsis because people have to go get the book to get the rest of the information. So, in your opinion, can we undo, heal, or transform anything from our past lives holding us back or blocking us currently in this lifetime?
Ooh, that's a good, deep question.
Hey, I thought him up this morning.
So, you know, the answer is something like, yes, we really can heal and transform the past and bring that into present time to clear and release a lot of old blocks and emotional pain that's in our lives. So it is very doable. Now, part of that is about the learning and the growth, I would have to say, you know, in all honesty, that it's important that we learn the lessons. And when the lessons are learned, sometimes the energy is just kind of stuck outside of time. Mm-hmm. And we can really clear that up, and that's one of the beautiful things that these prayers do and this information in the book does, is help us to realize even what we already know,
mm-hmm.
understand that we have this information and wisdom already, and then there are some prayers in here to release past life vows, and there's a beautiful prayer that heals karma, which is a very deep forgiveness prayer, which can help us to heal karma outside of time and space. And we mm-hmm. talk about, in the book, the Akashic Masters talk about soul contracts that have karma attached and, you know, how we can start to see these things and understand these things. And again, very often, the simple truth is when we can understand it in our mind and feel, accept, and receive that truth in our heart, then mm-hmm. it is healed.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, because when I was, like I said, I was reading your book, and there's things I knew, and then there's some, you went into more deeper, you gave me a deeper insight to different things, by the way, which I was quite surprised. I'm like, wow, I never thought of it that way, or wow, I never thought of this that way, because right now in my life, too, my family and I are divided. I moved to Florida. I'm from out of Buffalo, man. I booked out of there 2 years ago. And I have been distancing myself from my family since my father's death. So it's interesting because I want to go on that path of forgiveness. And I did start doing the prayer work with the forgiveness prayer. And I'm like, wow, this is really powerful.
Mm.
Personal testimonial myself, okay? Which is interesting because you're right. When we come into this lifetime, we used to question, well, why did I do this? Why did I do that? And there was a lot of blame, and as I've come through my journey, I found that it's just lessons, really. I'm here to evolve and move forward and help people with that like you are, to help them on their paths. So when you've been through it, too, you experience it, I think, the more you can help others. But I found it really interesting with the prayer of forgiveness. It's a very good prayer. Excellent prayer. What else would you suggest?
Yeah, that is probably the prayer that the one prayer the Akashic Record Keepers suggest that is good for everyone to do every day. Because, you know, how often do we not have something to forgive? Whether it's just, you know, maybe a unpleasant thought about someone while I'm driving down the road in that traffic, or, you know, kind of beating myself up for not being, standing up straight, being pretty enough, yeah. being young enough, being thin enough, you know, like how we treat ourselves when we look yeah. at ourselves in the mirror. I think, I feel that that's a very important thing to forgive and to move into self-love. So they connect, and, you know, what many of my readers say is that they sometimes do 2, 3, 4, 5 prayers a day because they find not only is it great to do that forgiveness prayer for beating themselves up, but to do some of these self-love prayers. And there's prayers for loving another and for an abundance of love and for self-valuing. And so they really get at a lot of different angles and levels and layers for us with these prayers in the book.
Yes, they do, and it's very simple, and I love how it starts off. And when you're done, it's like, okay, and you can set aside that time during your day, because I do feel, for myself, I wake up every morning and I do my prayers, and I do my meditations. But I work with a different modality, but I think I'm going to have to include this now. Boy, it's going to be an hour. I'll be in, you know, hiding out in the morning. That's great.
Well, and one of the things, you know, I always laugh because I am just kind of one of those on-the-go people. I'm a little hyper. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to do meditations that are longer than 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So a lot of the meditations I offer, like 2 of my free gifts are meditations, and they're less than 10 minutes because the Akashic Masters want us to be guided, guarded, and protected as we walk through life, because that helps us to be filled with our highest energy and protected and aligned with our soul. So it works in so many different levels. So the rainbow shield is one of the free gifts, and it's probably 8 minutes or something like that, because I want people to really be able to do them every day and not make excuses and say, I don't have an hour to meditate, because that was always my excuse.
Yes, I know. Mine was, I do the 5-minute shower meditation. It's like I, you know, envision the gold, you know, light coming through my crown and going out, you know, and I would do that in the shower, and that was it for me for the day. Cool. I worked. I did my meditation.
Right. And you know what, Amy? I would say that doing that every day is, you know, it's profound and life-changing, because it's consistent. And you're doing what I call, like energetic hygiene, right? You're washing out all the old muck and stuff that you've picked up over the last day, and you're filling yourself with your highest divine essence. And to do that every day is very profound. And that can really make a big change in your life, especially for people who have a lot of other people in their space. And that's the rainbow shield that, you know, I do the gold and then the rainbow shield, because it allows us to start to feel what's me, what's them, where's my path, where's your path, right? To start to create boundaries.
Right. Yes. So important, especially doing this work. Sometimes it took me a long time to figure out what was mine, and theirs is theirs. So, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Give us a little bit of a synopsis of what soul contracts are. I get a lot of people who ask me about this. What is your brief definition, if you can answer that?
Yes. I can, I think. I don't know about the brief part, but I can definitely answer the question. I don't think that the Akashic Masters are brief in any sense of the word, I have to say.
No, I read the book, man. I know how lengthy. No, it's good, though. It's good. It was more in-depth, but the abridged version, if you will.
Right, absolutely. So when we write that soul plan, before we come into a body, we make a lot of choices, and we say, who do I want to be with? What do I want to heal? Who do I want to support? Who's going to support me? So they always kind of share this funny image of being in a big gymnasium, like when you were in high school, you know, you'd go to the pep rally and in the gym, those squeaky wooden floors, right?
Yes.
because there you are with, you know, 500 souls, and everybody's going back to Earth, and some of them are from your soul family, and some of them are from past lives, and some you have old soul contracts, some you have karma with, and you might say, okay, who wants to marry me? Who wants to, you know, be a life partner with me? And you get, you might get 5, 6, 8 people saying, you know, I do. Let's do that again. One may be to complete an old karmic contract where, you know, maybe that partner died really young in your relationship and you didn't get a very long or full relationship. They're like, hey, we were having some fun, but that got ended way too short. Let's do it again. And you go, okay, there's a possible contract. And somebody else might be, oh, remember when we were very best friends or we were siblings? Hey, why don't we try being married this time? We had a good time as siblings and best friends, and let's be married this time. So, okay, you know, contract two. And we write, you know, a half a dozen to a dozen soul contracts, say, for just a significant other in our lives, whether it's a life partner, a marriage partner, a best friend, what, you know. So we write many of them because even though we are making this great plan, we have free will. So here we come to Earth and we go, you know, I was born and lived in Buffalo, but I'm really done, you know, done with that. I'm moving to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Yep. Now maybe you're in Florida, and I apologize. I don't know, you know, your marital status or your relationship status, but say you're in Florida and you're like, now I'm ready for a real partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we know there would be somebody there or that would be willing to move there because you have a dozen contracts out there, you know, for life partners. So it's complicated, but the nice thing is that there's more than one. It's not that there's one, you know, soulmate for you, needle in the haystack kind of thing. So.
Yeah. I mean, I get clients that ask me, what is this twin flame stuff? And I'm like, my guys are like, don't even go there. Don't even go there, Amy, because you know what we told you about that, okay? Yes, I do. Thank you.
Right, and so, you know, the Akashic Masters are just all about, like, education and information, so they explain to us that often when our souls divide, we don't divide into two pieces, we divide into 10 or 100 or 1,000, which is the good news. So there's a lot of people out there that are kind of part of us, or were part of us at one point.
Right.
And not only that, the other group that we're often, you know, marrying are, or having a significant relationship, whether we, you know, put a ring on it or not, are part of our soul family. So everybody is born with a soul family. And when we individuate from source, just like if you can think back when you were a kid, you know, I grew up in Chicago in a neighborhood, you know. Well, most of us grew up, but whether we were in the city or a suburb, you had neighbors. You had a neighborhood. You had kids you ran around with, right? Well, imagine that was the same thing as your soul family. You're born into this neighborhood, and, you know, there's your dozen kids that you're hanging out with, and you're running around, and you're learning, and you're growing, and sometimes you go off to college together, and sometimes you actually, you know, stay friends for a lifetime. I was just, I'm going back to Chicago in September because one of my best friends from first grade. Now, I'm 60 years old, so first grade, that's almost 55 years ago. her daughter is getting married, so I'm going back to Chicago to one of my soul family members' weddings.
Wow. Yeah, well, I'm not going back to Buffalo anytime soon.
But no, Mary, I love Chicago. I left Chicago almost 50 years ago, and yet I've stayed friends with this woman, this 6-year-old woman, and her children all through all of this time. So these really are, often they show up, she's part of my soul family. So I went to first grade with her, but she's also part of my soul family. So you see this in your life for many of us, is that those friendships, those that maybe last forever through, even though you don't talk to each other for 5 or 10 years, or those people that you meet that you're like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I've known you forever and we just met an hour ago. Those are often soul family members, which is, you know, again, different than a soulmate or a twin flame. They're just part of our soul family, and we've been running around with them for time immemorial. So they really are. They are our best friends.
Yeah.
And sometimes we marry them, and sometimes they're our children, and sometimes not.
Mm. Yes, sometimes not is right, yeah. Sometimes you wish they were not. Anyway, in your opinion, is karma good or bad or not? If so, why do you feel that way?
I would say it's not either. Karma is about learning and growth. It's not right, wrong, good, bad. It really is about your soul understanding and growing. So the Akashic Masters say that as young souls, we often make mistakes. We maybe are hot-headed, and we may say we abandon our family. Well, you know, very few of us would say that was good. But it's really about the lesson. It's about the growth. It's about the forgiveness. It's about from all angles. So if you were, say, the person who walked out the door and abandoned the family, there would be something to learn about connection, communication, love and forgiveness, and being able to move forward with a different sort of grace or ease or in a different way, so that you're not walking out the door, you know, that I always think of the story, you know, of the child, you know, who says, my dad went out for cigarettes and never came home, you know, and it was just me and mom for the rest of our lives. And of course, to that child, and I'm sure to the mother, what a trauma. And it happens vice versa. Women do the same thing. So just I'm using an abandonment example for some reason, just because it comes up. So, but there's learning on all levels. And so the person who walked out the door isn't punished for abandoning, but they may find that they come back in another lifetime. They may choose to come back in another lifetime as the child who gets abandoned so they can learn what it feels like.
Yeah. What about if you were incarnated in an alcoholic abusive household?
Right. So it could be the same thing. Maybe in another lifetime you were the alcoholic abuser. Or maybe you came in with a soul contract to love and support and help to heal this person that's in your life and maybe help them to heal their addiction and to, you know, be able to, whatever, stop drinking and to become a more loving person. So you might have a soul contract to support and help them because maybe they're a soul family member that you've been with for a long time, and this lifetime you understand and you get it and you feel as a soul you can help and support them. Or maybe in another lifetime you were that and now you want to experience the flip side of it, because one of the things the Akashic Masters tell us is that we do it all. We are never just, you know, we are never just the good. We are, you know, we experience all sides, levels, and layers. So if you've been the alcoholic, you've probably been the child of the alcoholic. You've learned about that. Maybe you've come back in another lifetime to help the alcoholic. So many kind of different levels. You've been, if you've been killed, you have killed. And so this is the thing, is that no one gets out. You know, You know, no one gets out alive. We're infinite and no one dies, but no one gets out alive either, right?
Exactly. Well, I was just thinking because I'm a recovering alcoholic of 8 years, and I grew up in an alcoholic household, so I got the duality in this lifetime, which is interesting.
Yeah, and I'm seeing that happen so much more. So I think when I started working in the records 20 years ago, they would say, the Akashic Masters would say, that most people would live 600 to 800 lifetimes here on Earth alone, just on Earth, not to mention all the other places, planes, and dimensions we live, but that it would take us that long to work through all these karmic patterns and pieces, you know, and nuances, because just as we talked about alcoholism, you could say, you know, there's just dozens of aspects of that, whether you're here to have that experience and heal it for yourself in the same life and maybe help your parent to heal it also, or not. You may have a contract to help your parent heal it, and they may not want to play. So sometimes, you know, these contracts don't come to fruition in that way. And it's all part of the free will also. So you can write a lot of contracts, but there's a lot of free will, which is why we have those added contracts. And it's becoming quicker. They used to say 600 to 800 lives, and now it seems like, you know, the completion of the karmic lessons are happening so much faster. You know, so much more often in one lifetime instead of taking two or three or four lifetimes to figure it out. And part of that's because the vibration of the planet is raising, and that's really helping us to get it and to change.
Definitely, because I feel, I think I shared this years ago with you as well, but I feel like I've done this life already, but I'm changing it. I'm like doing it over again, but I'm doing it right, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I think I've been through this before, but I'm going to do it differently. So the Akashic Records are very valuable, and so is really becoming more self-aware. That's one of my messages to the world, is become more self-aware and find out what is really going on within you so you can correct it and heal it. There you go.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. Beautifully said. Thank you. Really, it is about becoming self-aware.
It is. And is there anything else you would like to share with our listening audience about your book, From Questioning to Knowing, 73 Prayers to Transform Your Life?
Well, what I would love to just say is that there is so much kind of big picture information that will answer so many of your questions. So you can move out of that place of wondering and trying to figure it all out, questioning. So you can shift into that heart-centered place of knowingness. And these prayers help you to do that with ease and grace every single day. And don't forget, there are 3 free gifts if you just want to sample it. If you want to do a meditation or do the prayers of self-love, or there's a wonderful Akashic Column of Light meditation that really connects you up and adds just another level of juice to the prayers. So those are all free on my website at akashicknowing.com. So people can just check that out. And of course, the link to the book, which is on Amazon, so you can find a link to that book on my website also, and the 3 gifts. And if you buy the book, you get a 4th healing hour of healing work with me that's a pre-recorded downloadable MP3. So there's actually 4 gifts if you buy the book.
Yeah, and I would suggest everyone, you know, buy the book because it's very easy. It's very, like you said, the table of contents you can open to. And maybe you don't feel like reading it. I love reading, so I was engulfed all weekend. But, you know, you can just go through the book and see if you whatever resonates with you. And it's very practical. It's nice. It's really nice. And how about a session with you, Lisa, where people can find you on the same website as well if they want to do some deeper work with you, Yumi Kasha?
Yes, absolutely. So you'll see at akashicknowing.com, it's / consultations. So, or if you go to Akashic Knowing, you'll see the little button link called consultations, and you'll see more about doing a session. I do a lot of healing through the records. I'm all about clearing that old junk for you, moving the energy, clearing the emotional pain, physical pain and energy, the trauma from this life or other lives, the unconscious blocks. So I do 30-minute sessions or 55-minute sessions, depending on what kind of things people want to work on. So you'll also find that at akashicknowing.com/consultations.
That's great. And is there anything else you would like to add? Now, what about your first book? I didn't even know you had a until I read the intro, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records. Where can people find that book as well?
That is also on my website. You can find it under products. You'll see links to both of the books. It's on Amazon. The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records is it's a great first step into learning to access your own Akashic Records. So if you're one of those people who's like, you know, I'm really psychic, I'm very, I'm a healer, I really want to learn to do this for myself, I teach online. Mm-hmm. I teach in different places. I'm going to be teaching in California in October, and I have home study classes. But that book, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records, is a really great, easy way to start to access the records and stick your toes in the water and see if this resonates with you and if you want to go on and go deeper in a class with me. So The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records, the How to Access Your Own Akashic Records, is also on Amazon, and you can find both of those under Lisa Barnett, right? Barnett. Both of the books are on Amazon.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Lisa. This was very enlightening. Your book was very enlightening. I hope people pick up a copy and start praying and transforming their lives.
Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate you. I look forward to whatever, spending more time talking to you, doing some work with you if you'd like, and I really appreciate you having me on again. It's really been great.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to the third book I'm hearing. What's that? Okay, just a little tidbit.
You'll be the first to know when they tell me.
I think they are. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Join us next week, Mondays, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, for another fabulous guest on the way to enlightenment and learning about your soul's purpose. Take care. Bye-bye.